All right, you guys can start turning to Genesis 17 this morning. That's the first book of the Bible, 17th chapter in, Genesis 17. You know, as God so often does, He reveals what we're going to talk about the next week as we're talking about it the previous week. And last week was no different. God did what God does. And He kind of showed us how we were talking about something, and He wanted us to go deeper in that. One of those you just hear Holy Spirit say, just kind of sit here, reflect on this for a minute. Don't go nowhere. I'm not ready to move on yet. Last week we talked about one of the names of God, how He was speaking to us about it. We talked about El Roy, the God who sees. How the names of the Old Testament was more than just a name. It was a revealed characteristic of God. He was showing us a part of His very nature. Last week we were reminded that God does see us. That He does hear our prayers. That He does care. That He's always right there with us. He's omnipresent. What I didn't realize, though, is that God was starting a little series we were going to go through. I heard Holy Spirit saying to start to refresh ourselves with remembering some of these names of God. Some of the encounters the men and the women of the Bible had with God. Think about what they were going through when they use these names of God. What it was about God that they recognized about His personality. Looking at what it was that made them realize that and call God what they did. That this name that they called Him was not a small thing either. There's something about a name anyway. We respond to our name. Now my parents, they named me John. Not Jonathan, but John. John Wesley, actually. And it was the same first and middle name as my mom's grandpa, but it was also first and middle name of my dad's, or my grandpa on my dad's side's brother. So there were two John Wesley Hayeses. But the point is that you're able to be recognized by your name. If you call me John, I'm probably going to respond to you. I've been called a lot of other things too. I'll say, Brandon and Diane last year, I know they made a big deal about making sure to call me pastor. And it was one of those that adding that pastor as a prefix on the name, it does reveal something. It starts to get you to think about stuff differently. It starts to get you to realize and recognize there's something to associate with that name with. And in the Old Testament, there are many times where the names that people used for God was what their view of God was, based on their interaction with Him. In this case, in Genesis 17, it's a name that God uses to describe Himself to Abraham. We start in verse 1 of 17 here. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. And the kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And I also give to you and your descendants after you the land which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So we're focusing on what God called himself here, though. He called himself, I am Almighty God, El Shaddai in the Hebrew. Much like the word El in Elroy from last week, El is the generic name of God, used both for our God as well as other pagan gods in their time. El Shaddai, though, is a compound word where you put two or more words together and you form a new word. Shaddai is translated Almighty here. So the two words together is God Almighty, El Shaddai. But the way God, what God says that immediately after that, God in his infinite wisdom, he links calling himself El Shaddai and the blessing of changing Abraham's name. Again, there's an importance in a name. Back then, they were big on meanings of names. It's not like today where a lot of times people go with something cutesy. Something that sounds nice. Something that's spelled different than everybody else. I remember seeing the class list of Gracies and thinking, I never would have guessed that name was spelled that way. Sometimes she says a name and I have to go look at it to figure out who she's even talking about. But Abraham gets a new name here. He goes from being named Abram to being Abraham. He's no longer just going to go from being an exalted father, but would be moved on to being known as a father of many nations. The name itself was a blessing to him. God was showing Abraham that he was right there watching over him, that he was the one in charge of everything. So God was telling this to Abraham in the next passage, right after what we saw last week with Abraham and Sarah trying to fulfill the promise on their own of what God told Abraham that he would do, that he would multiply his descendants. We talked about it last week where Abraham and one of Sarah's servants, Hagar, conceived a son trying to make God's promise happen sooner. The first verse we read here, Abraham was 99 when God appeared to him. Well, the last verse of chapter 16 said that Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. That's 13 years, if you're doing the math, between when Abraham and Sarah realized that they made the mistake of trying to have a kid outside of what God was intending them to do. You may think 13 years is a long time to wait. Well, it's even more than that when you start thinking about how long it was between when God made the first promise to Abraham and when they bore Ishmael. See, Genesis 12 tells us that Abraham was 75 years old when God told him to leave Haran, and go to a place that he would show him, that he would make his descendants like the stars. Here it is, 24 years later, though. That's nearly a quarter of a century, and they're still waiting for the fulfillment of that promise, being told the same thing that they were told nearly 25 years ago. See, after that first 11 years, Abraham and Sarah were probably thinking that this isn't moving fast enough. There's no way that Sarah's going to be able to have a kid in her 80s. Maybe, just maybe, Abraham has enough seed, though, left that they can make something happen to fulfill that promise. I think this is a trap we fall into sometimes too. I know I've been caught up in it before. We hear the promise from God. We know that God plans to fulfill it, but we don't know when or how. And we want it to happen really bad. And sometimes God has some action that he wants us to do to help fulfill what he wants to have happen. But if we don't hear from God correctly, or if we try to do it in our own way, we run into a little bit of frustration. I remember when God called us to sell our old house out by Thornhope. It's about halfway between Star City and Royal Center if you're heading down 35. And it was a nice house. It was out in the country. We just finished remodeling the very last room in the house. Wasn't going to have to be doing any more work to it. Barely had any chance to enjoy what we had labored in redoing it. But we knew God was calling us to move out here to Rochester to be closer to family, to be closer to the church and the church family as well. Little did we know, though, what else God had planned for us down the road, for why he was moving us out here. But we heard from God, and we listed it for sale. And we started our house hunt. We started looking at some houses. Eventually, we put in an offer on a house contingent to our selling. But our house was listed for nearly a year before it had its first viewing of it even. We didn't really know why. We had it priced right. We didn't have it priced too high to where it wasn't in the right market. But it just wasn't getting any traffic. We knew we had heard from God, but things wasn't working out the way we thought. Now, we had talked about building. We had bought some property clear back when Addison was born because we were going through a time where we wondered if we needed to be closer to family. But just something didn't sit right with me. I did not want to have two mortgages, especially with how long it was taking for our house to show. Just knew that something wasn't right here. So I said no. And then after a little over a year, Ashley goes, "Do you think we should try to build?" Of course, I went, "Nope." Well, and then I prayed about it. And I heard from God. I heard him say, "Yeah, it'll be okay. I got this. Don't worry. We got this." So finally, our house showed again, though, when it was getting closer to time for us to finish building, and they made an offer on it. Okay, it was an offer we were wanting. Okay, great. Yeah, talk about God's timing, though. We closed on our old house on Monday, and that same week, we took possession of our new house. We never had two mortgages. We never had that double payment. But the difference here is, we knew we heard from God. God lined things up only the way he could. Don't get me wrong, I firmly believe that when there's a prophetic word, we have a part in it. But part of that part is for us to pray into it. I'll say, so fitting the word that came forth this morning also. There's a word out there for you guys. May have been put on the shelf. It's time to pull that back off the shelf and pray into it again. Although the timing may not have been right at the time, there might be timing now that's the appropriate time. Think about with Abraham and Sarah, though. I'm sure they were walking around that last 13 years kicking themselves in the butt for trying to go ahead of God. Here they are, they have this other other child that's not the promise that God had for them. They try to make it happen their own way instead of making sure they had the right instructions from God on how to make it happen. See, Abraham was 75 years old when God told him that he would multiply his descendants. They try to make it happen on their own after just 10 years. They were probably at the point where they were thinking, how much longer is this going to take? We're not getting any younger. We ain't no spring chickens. Technically, maybe if it's Abraham's seed, it'll meet the what he said. Trying to find the loopholes. Trying to find the technicalities. They were trying to find a way to make it happen. They were tired of waiting. But there's something that happens, though, in that waiting. There's so much character that's built in that waiting. So much strength is found in that waiting. I've heard it said this way before. Between the promise and the provision is the process. Let me say it again in case it didn't come out clear. Between the promise and the provision is the process. Between the time that the promise is made and the time when that promise is fulfilled is the process that we go through. We learn to let go of the wheel. We learn to take our hands off of trying to control it. We have to give it over to Almighty God. El Shaddai. 25 years had gone by between the time when Abraham and Sarah had been told to leave where they were and the first offspring to come forth in that promise. They heard the promise. They took that first step of faith, but they weren't seeing anything happen. So now most Bible translations translate El Shaddai, as we read this morning already, as Almighty God, the all-powerful God. But in most of the instances that it's used, you could look at it a little bit differently as well. You could look at it as the all-sufficient one. The God who makes a way when it seems like there's no other way. In Abraham and Sarah's case, it seemed like there was no way for this to happen. But God makes a way. When it seems like things are impossible, God makes it possible. God is the one who is sovereign. He's the one who has the way to make it where he supplies. He's the one who rules over every circumstance. Impossible is not in God's vocabulary. God doesn't see things as impossible. God uses this as a way of showing us his covenant, his legal agreement with the descendants of Abraham, the promises that he fully intends to keep. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. God keeps his promises. He made them not just for an Abraham's time, but an everlasting promise, an everlasting covenant to all of his descendants. You might be thinking, but I don't have Abraham in my lineage. Yeah, we do. We do have Abraham in our lineage. Because Jesus grafted us into his family. Matthew makes it clear that Jesus came from David's lineage and then from Abraham's lineage. And he traces it all the way up to every single person that he came from. So this is a covenant that is fulfilled to us by Jesus. One of the other key things that's found in the name El Shaddai is the concept of provision and blessing. The Hebrew word dai means to pour out or to heap benefits. It very much suggests provisions and blessings. See here, he shows up, God shows up and tells Abraham along the same lines as what he told him back in Genesis 12. Here's what he told him in Genesis 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This name, El Shaddai, is meant to be a blessing as well. It's the provision. It's the way that God works. It's how he operates. He blesses those who bless his people. You can try me on that with tithing. So when you tithe, you're blessing God's people. When you give, you're giving to what God wants to do in the kingdom. Ashley and I have seen it in our own lives. We hear from God to do something, we step out, and we did what God told us to do. Just planning on it being our blessing to other people. And then next thing you know, you have extra money come in that more than covers what you just spent. He has a way of blessing us out of nowhere. He has a way of bringing things where you hadn't figured it to come from. He brings a bonus that you didn't expect. He brings a refund from where you thought that you owed more to the bank than what you actually owed. He just surprises us in random ways. Well, it's not really random. It's how God operates. He brings things the way you don't expect. But he continues that blessing through each and every one of us. He's just looking for our obedience on how we're to be a part of that. We can bank on God answering his promises. We shouldn't be surprised when he fulfills it. We can expect the unexpected. Genesis 17 continues in verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him and for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time, this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Now, I have a feeling that Abraham and Sarah probably wished that God would have said this first. They wished that God might have said this before he did that with Hagar. That it was going to be Sarah who would have the child that carries the promise for God, for Abraham. Say, but God still takes care of Ishmael. God still takes care of what we did in our foolishness. God still finds ways to correct our good intentions. Sometimes, though, we get all caught up with wanting to know the details before we take that faith step. I'll be the first to admit I'm that way a lot. I look at it and see steps 1 to 100 and want to make sure I have everything planned out and all the materials for every step of the way. I don't like making a trip to the hardware store just to pick up an elbow for a fitting for a plumbing job. Because then you end up going in there again. Because there would be another part. But I like to make sure I have everything planned out down to a T. But God wants to tell us that, hey, it's okay if we don't have things all figured out. We don't need to know the whole plan. It's okay if we just see that first step and walk in it. He knows that we don't need to have everything planned out. Because when we have it all planned out, we're the one who usually tries to end up being in control. We want to get it all moving the way that we think it should go. We try to do God's job for him. We need to remember that God is God, and we are not. We mostly looked at Abraham and Sarah's encounter here with God, how he used the word, used the name El Shaddai. But you can see the same pattern with Jacob. When God shows up to him and uses the same name, El Shaddai, in Genesis 35. It's where God changed Jacob's name to Israel as well, pronounces blessings on Jacob, and continues to reinforce that God was going to be multiplying their descendants. One of the things with recognizing the name El Shaddai is recognizing when we can't do it on our own. Those things that we realize that God's hand has to be on it. There's no other way that it's going to happen other than having God's hand right there. There's no explanation you can put on the way things are going to go. When we are facing something that looks like it's impossible, we need to remember that everything is possible with El Shaddai. We shouldn't limit God. Putting time limits on something that God says. Putting bookends on something that God says. We need to let him to be the one who makes it happen. Believe and have faith that we continue to see that God is going to line it all up. We press in to find out what God has planned. We press in to find out what the next steps are. The difference in making it happen on our own and sowing into what God is doing is our ability to recognize God's voice and walk in what he is telling us to do. God will give us a peace about the decisions we make. Also, if you don't have a peace about it, don't make the decision. God will give you a peace when it's that time. Like with building, I didn't have a peace when it wasn't the right time. But when it was, I had a complete calmness over it. It may have felt foolish for Abraham and Sarah to continue to try to have a baby at nearly 100 years old, but they still did their part in preparing for the child as well. Once they heard this from God, they knew that's what the plan was. It was up to them to fulfill their part in it. Don't let the enemy tell you that what you've heard from God is foolish. Don't tell him that it's not right for you to do it. Once God has spoken, we can only listen to what he says. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we thank you that you are not silent. Lord, we thank you for the prophetic words that you have, God. We thank you for the fulfillment of those words as well. Lord, we thank you that you were faithful to Abraham, God, that you are faithful to us as well. Lord, I'm reminded that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, God. Lord, that there's nothing that's contrary to that. Lord, that you have great things planned for us, God. That you have great things planned in this community for us. Lord, we listen for your voice, God. We listen for what that next step is to do our part in your plan. Lord, help us be confident when we hear from you, God, that we know that we know that we know that we heard from you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We bless your name, Jesus. We thank you that you have so much more planned. Lord, that your plans are great and mighty and powerful in this community. God, we thank you that you are El Shaddai, that you are the all-sufficient one. You are Almighty God. Lord, help us recognize that there is a way when it seems like there is no way. You are just getting things started. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.